All right, thank you, kids. Didn't they do a good job? Oops. All right, friends and family of GCBCR, how are you guys doing? Woo! All right. Are the slides up? Are the slides up? Because I have a pop quiz for you. Yes, a pop quiz during Sunday service, as soon as they get the slides up there. But the pop quiz is basically this. How many times does the word mother appear in the Bible? Okay. If you really love your mother, you should know the answer. All right. I'll help you out. A, about 24 times. B, about 97 times. C, about 173. And D, about 230 times. All right. 24 times. Anyone? One, at the back, very confident. 97? Who thinks it's 97? All right. A little bit more. How about 173? Okay. And the last one, 230. Okay, so I think 173 won out on that one. Unfortunately, you're wrong. So the right answer is it's about 230 times in the Bible, okay? So you would think for so many mentions of the word mother in Scripture, we would have, I guess, a more higher esteem visual of our mothers, right? But no, this is how we think about moms all the time. On a normal day, she's just stuck in doing mundane stuff, like washing the dishes, taking care of the kids, answering to her husband. And so kids just come up to her and say, "Mom, I'm done with my snacks." And she's holding a baby on one hand, trying to feed peanut butter to the dad. I don't know. She's like holding up peanut butter. And then the dad says, I need to go to the hardware store. And so he's checking out. So on a normal day, that's very unfortunately the picture of mothers that we have in our mind, right? Someone who is just taking care of everything. Do you all think on Mother's Day anything is different? How is Mother's Day different? It better be different, okay? Kids and husbands, if you're not giving your mom a Mother's Day off, you know, this is a hint for you, right? So clear Mother's Day off calendar for her. But just based off of your initial reaction, this is what the reality of Mother's Day look like, right? It's still the same picture. Really, the only difference is the kid is now handing mom a card saying, "Happy Mother's Day, but here's still my snack, right? Get rid of this." And the only thing that's different from the husband is you might get a thumbs up and say, "Yay, hon, you're the best, but I'm still going to the hardware store anyway." And so there's really not much of a difference between Mother's Day and a regular Mother's Day. And that, I think, is the unfortunate predicament that most mothers find themselves in. They're just going through the daily grind. Even on their Mother's Day off, they're not really off, right? They're still doing a lot of things for their family, for their kids, for their husbands, and that's just how dedicated moms are. But I'll tell you, it's hard for a mom when she's stuck in doing all these things to really see what kind of impact she's making, because all she's doing is washing dishes, doing laundry, going to work, coming back, doing all these things. You know, in her mind, none of these really have a whole lot of impact on eternal living or on the kingdom of God. You know, she might be so busy, she can't even have time to go to a small group or to attend church. So for a mom, many times I think that the struggle of a mom is that she's just so stuck in all the daily things. It's hard for her to see how any of what she does have impact on kingdom work. And I think that's very true. I look at Winnie, I look at my own mom. You know, that is unfortunately the position they find themselves in. A couple years ago, I went back to Malaysia in my mom's church. One of the ladies came up to me and she said, "Pastor Carter, you know, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I don't know how and what I can do to be a better Christian. I can't go help out in church. I don't know how to help kingdom advancements. And that was the predicament that she came up to me and say, I don't know how to do this. Can I tell you that this lady has a very gross misunderstanding of motherhood? Motherhood in the Bible isn't, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Okay, that's not the biblical model of motherhood. In fact, I'm going to go through a couple scriptures right now to show you that God holds the position and the role of motherhood in high esteem. It's not, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. It's, you're a mom, and God put you there. It's a position of privilege, of high esteem. And I hope for the moms today, like, you see that this morning, okay? And that you see every single thing that you do in your daily life has eternal kingdom impact. And so first, let me just show you a couple verses where God really lifts up the position of mothers. Anyone familiar with the Ten Commandments? Yeah? It's like the basic thing the Israelites and the Jewish people had to follow, right? And for us, it's very similar. Ten Commandments is like the commandments that all of us should be looking at. And guess which is the fifth commandment? Honor thy father and mother. So motherhood is important enough that God made it one of the commandments and say, you better honor your parents, especially your mother, right? So God puts the position of mother way up there. It's one of the Ten Commandments. That's how important God sees motherhood. Here's another one. Do you guys know that in certain parts of Scripture, God actually says he's like a mom? And yeah, this is a shocker to me. I'm like, wow, God says he's a mom. So this is in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. So this is God talking to the nation of the Israelites. He says this, Isaiah 66, 13. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. See, God takes the position of mother as so important that you see literally Bible passages where he says, I'm like your mom, right, to show his character. And so just showing two Bible verses here, moms, you need to and ought to already start changing your perspective on what biblical motherhood is like. It's a high position that God puts all the way up there. So the next question is, well, if God puts you up there, then what is God's mission and goal for motherhood, right? What are moms supposed to do? If God puts you up there, he's not putting you up there for no reason. So there's a couple things that he wants you to do. Here's the first one. In Psalms 127, verse 3, it says this, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. And so God gives children to mothers because dads can, like, bear kids. Children comes from the mother. And it says here they are a heritage. Heritage means special possession. God gives his special possession to the mothers as a form of reward. And so kids to mom, you know, motherhood is, look at it as a role where God puts you in such a high esteem where he entrusts you with his special possession, the heritage, children. So what are you supposed to do with kids? Proverbs 22:6 says this, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. And so your mission as a mom is to train up kids in the Word of God so that when they get old, they don't turn away from it. And so that's your mission here. God created mothers for a very important mission, critical task, to train up kids so that they follow Jesus. So ask yourself, is that something that you teach your kids, right? Do your kids know that that's important to you? Do they know that following Jesus is above academics, music, sports, whatever? Pick anything. Is that less than knowing Jesus? So Jesus ought to be the first thing. That is your mission as a mother. And so sometimes you look at this and you're like, oh, that's really hard. How do I accomplish this as a mom? It's almost like you're putting me on a perfect pedestal, and there's no way I can ever achieve that, right? So let me just share with you text from the book of 2 Timothy, because that's the book we're going through right now in our English service. And we're going to see in here Paul calling out the mother and grandmother of Timothy. And he's calling out a very specific thing that the mother and grandmother is doing. And I want to show the mothers that this is something that's very achievable. In fact, you're going to find this thing very liberating. It shouldn't put you in a bondage and say, man, Pastor Carter, you just put moms like way up here. None of the moms can achieve that level. No, when we go through this scripture, you're going to see it's a very liberating thing for mothers. So if you will turn with me to 2 Timothy, we're in chapter 1, and I'm going to skip the passage and go straight to the Bible verse that's on it just because of time. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. So this is Paul writing to Timothy. We know that Timothy is struggling with whether he should continue to stand firm in his faith or not, right? He's having difficulties, he's having challenges, and so the whole theme of 2 Timothy is endurance. How do you have endurance in the faith? And Paul here is saying one of the huge factor in someone in whether they endure and stand firm in their faith has to do with their mothers. So this is the verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I am reminded, I meaning Paul, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, yours meaning Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So this is a very simple Bible passage, and we really want to hone in on what's important here. Paul talks about the sincere faith of your grandma and mother. What does that mean? What does sincere mean? Sincere in the Greek word, it's a anupokristos, but it literally means the opposite of hypocrisy. Okay, so the opposite of hypocrisy, meaning what you say you do, what you say you live out in your life. You're not wearing a mask, you're not in disguise, your faith is authentic, your faith is genuine, right? So when you read scripture and you say, this is God's word, this is how I live it out. So you're not a hypocrite. It's very easy for our children to see that, right? When you're at home, if you act different at church, your kids see that. If you say God is important to you and your life is lived contrary to that, your kids see that. And so for Timothy specifically, Paul says, you know, your mom and your grandma, their faith were sincere. So whatever they said, they lived it out. So at this point, moms are thinking, oh my gosh, my kids are going to see all my imperfections. Now I have to be this super spiritual mother. I have to be this godly mother to my kids so I don't screw up, you know, and live an authentic faith. That's not what this passage is saying. Okay, this passage is not saying that all mothers need to live in a way that is so spiritual, that is unattainable. This passage is saying, live in such a way that what you believe just flows out of your life. It ought to be very liberating, and this is what it means. So this passage tells you as mothers that you can now openly screw up in your life. But when you screw up, you demonstrate to your children how you come back before God in repentance. You demonstrate for your children and say, hey, you know, I lost my anger at you there right then. Will you pray with me and pray for me? That's sincere, authentic faith, right? God doesn't expect any one of us to be perfect, but God does show us certain ways when we screw up how to go back to him in repentance. That's what it's talking about. And you can show your children your struggles. So if you're going through hardship at work or you're going through hardship in other things, you can openly show that to your children. And you call your kids and say, man, you know, I'm really struggling here. Can you pray with me? Or, hey, let's go through scripture together to figure out how I can overcome this because I'm really struggling. And so it ought to liberate mothers that you can be yourself and go through hard times, but be sincere in your faith. And that's training your kids to know how to deal with life, right? Life is not perfect. You can't just show this perfect picture. When I was a young Christian, I never liked to argue with Winnie in front of our kids. So whenever we have an argument, and yes, it's shocking, we argue quite a bit actually. So when we have arguments, I would say, Winnie, cut it right now. We'll go into the room and we'll argue it out, right? We'll get physical if we need to. But don't do it in front of our children. And Winnie would be like, no, you show our kids how to handle conflict. And I thought she was wrong. I'm like, no, you don't do that. You don't show your kids how to deal with life. In front of our kids, you need to be this perfect parent. And the more I get into scripture, the more I read passages like this in Timothy, God says, you just be open with how you're dealing with life, right? That's how you're teaching your kids how to deal with real, authentic life. And so these days, our kids see it. You know, we get ugly in front of them, but it teaches them how we come back before God, how we rely on God, how God is in the center of reconciling the two of us. And you can openly demonstrate love to your children. Feel free to hug them, to kiss them. Feel free to kiss your husband on the lips in front of your kids. My kids, whenever we did that, they were like, ew, that's disgusting. But as a mother, when you do that kind of extravagant love, you're showing them the love of Christ, right? They experience that. So that's hopefully something that's very liberating to mothers, that you don't have to feel like, oh, I need to be this perfect mom all the time. That's not the case. And if you say, well, I can try that, but I still can't do it. If we go to the next two verses, God sends you a helper. He says in 2 Timothy verse 6 and 7, for this reason I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. And here's the key verse 7. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. See that, Mom? When we anchor ourselves in Christ, the Spirit of God gives you the power. It says power, love, and self-discipline. So you're not on your own here. God is equipping you through the Spirit to be the kind of mom that He wants you to be. So let me just end with a story of my mom. This is my mom right here. And that's me. I sent this to my mom yesterday. She's like, oh, Carter, you're so cute. I'm like, yes, Mom, I am cute. Thank you. So I want to bring up my mom because when I was reading this passage, it really reminded me of my mother, right? Paul reminds Timothy and say, hey, when you're going through rough days, be reminded of the sincere faith of your mother because that will get you through hard days. When you think about how your mom did life in a way that's sincere and authentic, that gives you power to go through life's difficulties. And so some of you met her this past summer. She was here for a couple weeks, but she is probably one of the most sincere faith woman I know. And there are three things about her that really sticks out to me, and I think especially when I'm going through hardships or when I'm counseling other people, I think about my mom's sincere faith. The first thing she did was she persevered in telling me the gospel. Okay, so I didn't grow up Christian, I grew up Buddhist. And up till I was in my mid-20s, I was still a Buddhist. And so I remember in America, I would call my mom, and every single phone call without fail, she will tell me the gospel. She'll say, Jesus loves you, Carter, be a Christian. God loves you, you're a sinner, Christ died for your sin, He rose again so that you have eternal life in Him. Accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. And she would tell me this every single phone conversation. It got so annoying because I didn't like it that every time I called her, I would be like, okay, she's about to tell me the gospel. I would literally put the phone on the side and I would check every few minutes to see if she's done. And when she's done, I'll pick it back up and I'll be like, you know, oh, hey, let's talk about other stuff. So Winnie saw that, right? I did that for a year or two. So I just didn't like my mom telling me about Jesus. I hated it. But she persevered. And it wasn't after I accepted Christ that she told me, she's like, you know, Carter, for those couple years, I prayed and fasted for your salvation. You know, I wanted you to believe in Christ so much that I gave everything to make sure you heard the gospel and come to know Jesus. And so, moms, if you are in a situation right now where your kids are rejecting you, they don't want to hear what you got to say about Christ, persevere. Okay, because your endurance here is going to make a big difference in their faith and endurance when they become an adult. The second thing is, so I rejected my mom's message for a long time, and then I got married. And so Winnie and I had to go back to Malaysia, and I knew my mom was going to drag me to church, and I didn't want to do that. And so Winnie and I had this agreement. We're like, all right, we're going to figure out how to fend off my mom. You know, whenever she asks us to go to church, we'll come up with some kind of excuse, or we'll just not be at home so we don't have to go to church. But one day she trapped me, and so I got trapped to go to church, and I hated it. But I sat there, and I'm like, all right, I'll respect my mom. You know, I'll just sit there because she really wants me to do this. And I remember that day was a speaker from Singapore, and he was talking about salvation. And so I didn't want to hear what he had to say, but I'm thinking, all right, since I'm here anyway, let me just ask God some questions, right? And this speaker answered every single question I had, and I was stunned. I'm like, how is this even happening? And so when he was done, he said, all right, who wants to accept Christ? Come on down here. I was still stunned. I didn't know what to do, how to handle what just happened, because to me, it was supernatural. You know, God responded to me even when I didn't want him to. And so my mom literally stood up. She's like, you are not escaping. So she grabbed my hand, and she dragged me down the aisle to the front. Like, literally, that's how I accepted Christ. My mom dragged me to the front. And something else was going on with my wife. She had a revival, and so she pushed me. So I was being dragged by my mom, being pushed by my wife, all the way down here, and then the pastor said, I'm going to pray for you. You will accept Jesus right now. I'm like, okay. That's how I came to faith, okay? It wasn't any sort of, like, intellectual knowledge that I'm like, yes, apologetics makes sense. I'm going to accept God. No, it was my mom forcing me and my wife pushing me. And so, mom, sometimes your kids just need that. You know, they don't know how to respond, so force them. So in my case, it worked. Okay, I think it worked so well, I'm a pastor now. So you can force your kids. And here's the last one, which I think impacted me as an adult. My dad had a stroke about 6 years ago. So he passed away about a year or two ago. And he had a stroke, which half of his body was immobilized, so he couldn't move. He was bedridden all the time. And I saw his behavior change. Like, he went from this man who was happy and he was joking and he was loving to his wife to a man whose whole mental state kind of got messed up. Like, I would be at home during vacation and I would see him yell at my mom, like profanity at my mother. It's very hard to watch that, to see your father kind of go through that transition. Having the stroke and then being mean to your mom, and, you know, physically sometimes he would just, like, hit my mom. And so it became really rough for me to see that. But I saw how my mom reacted to that. She was a woman that was full of grace, right? Even when my dad was mean to her, she continued to love him. I would see my mom walking by his bed and then kiss him on the forehead. I'm like, how is this woman even doing this? Right, if Winnie was doing that to me, I'll be mad at her. I'll be like, you stay in your room, I'll stay in my room. I'm not going to go deal with you if you're that kind of wife. But my mom demonstrated faith that was just supernatural. And I'm telling you, that is the Spirit of God. So whenever I'm going through difficulties, whether in my marriage or parenting or at church or whatever, I do think about my mom, because her sincere faith gives me endurance. And that's what Paul says. Timothy, remember your mom and your grandmother's sincere faith, because that will give you endurance to persevere through your own faith. And so, mom, your calling is high, but not so high that you have to be a perfect mom. Spirit of God gives you the power. Show your kids how to live a life that's both good and broken, and be authentic about it. And Paul tells us here that that's how your kids will be infected by the sincere faith of Jesus Christ. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, you're so good, God. It's amazing that in all of Scripture, you mention these two women, Lewis and Eunice, and to show us that their genuine faith of just going through the everyday life, the grind of everyday mundane things, has eternal impacts on Timothy. In fact, it got so infectious, Lord, that he became a church leader, an evangelist. He became a bishop. His name is in the book of the New Testament, read by billions of people, to encourage billions of people, Lord, because of these two women and how they just live their lives as mothers. So we thank you, Lord, for these two women who inspired us today, and I pray that each mom in our church today, God, becomes that kind of inspiration for their children, for their husband, for their family, and for people around them, God. We thank you for mothers. You are good. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to invite Jessica up here because she has special things for mothers, because we want to just appreciate all of you.